listening to this podcast right now. Do you want to hear a fucking podcast about anything and everything?
Yeah.
Like movies, music, television, and more?
Oh my God.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
Subscribe to Journey Into Comics Network, and you get Podcastrophe, hosted by me,
yes.
Dick. Why not throw a couple bucks to the Patreon? It's your choice. Yeah. This is a Podcastrophe.
That sounds so awesome.
The following is a Journey to Comics Network production.
Do you want me to order a pizza?
Whatever, I don't care.
I already ordered a pizza.
You think about everything.
You ever tried shawarma? There's a shawarma joint about two blocks from here. I don't know what it is, but I want to try it.
Do you want some coffee, Mr. Tully?
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
Is butter a carb?
Will you stop eating?
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
What's up, and welcome to Foodies Watching Movies. Hope you're enjoying Fool's Week. We are right on our way. We're almost at the one half point, the half point, the middle of the week type thing. This is Foodies. We are on Wednesdays, and this is not my show.
Or mine.
Or yours either. We have all been jumbled up. We're doing it. I have done Foodies once before, though. I've been on an episode early on.
I was in the room.
Were you in the room for that?
I was.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
Did you guys watch Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there. I was largely pregnant at the time.
Oh, was Rob with us?
I don't remember.
I thought Rob was there for one of them. I don't remember.
It's been a while.
It has been, we watched the first 89 Batman. That's back when the show watched the movie all the time. And they've kind of moved away from that. And they've just kind of they do talking and stuff. But yeah, basically this show is we just talk about food and movies. And the love of both. I am Brando.
I'm Kate.
Kate. She's, the co-host of Butt Stuff.
Yes.
And I am the co-founder of the network and co-host of many. Journey to Comics, Game Addicts Podcast, and Journey to Wrestling. And then I think the only show that the only show I haven't at least appeared on in some form. I guess I've never been on Butt Stuff officially. I've been in the room.
Yes.
But I've never been on Poor Rapport. I've been on Literature kinda for the Road to Infinity War type stuff. Mm-hmm. Me and her did Hulk, and then we're gonna do
the abnormal things.
Yeah, just the extra stuff. We're doing Hulk, or we did Hulk, and we're doing Civil War. Of course, this is for April Fools, and April Fools is Easter, and because we got some movies to talk about, and we're going to get to that. But I'm like, what kind of food should we talk about? And I'm like, well, we'll just talk about food that we make. And I'm like, well, it is Easter, so I love Easter candy.
I'm glad that you brought up candy, because I was like, everybody eats the same things for Easter. It's like you've got ham. And you've got cheesy potatoes of some sort. Because everybody has cheesy
potatoes. Kind of like a funeral potatoes type
thing? Yes, funeral potatoes. Which is like hash brown casserole, but we call them funeral potatoes.
But not as good, though, because hash brown casserole is actually way much better. It's like so much better.
Oh, thanks. That's like a thing I make. And you're like, dogging it. Way to go, husband.
Wait.
Huh?
I said that hash brown casserole is so much better than cheesy potatoes.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was better than funeral potatoes.
Well, I mean, hash brown casserole is bomb.com.
Agreed.
Like, do you ever really make funeral potatoes?
That's what those are.
It's the same thing?
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing, though, because I guess...
Technically, hash brown casserole has, cornflake and butter crust on the top, but it's disgusting. So I just leave it off, and it's everything else is just like Cracker Barrel's hash brown casserole.
It's not. No, it's not Cracker Barrel's hash brown casserole, and not for everybody, because some people's cheesy funeral casserole.
Oh no! I'm talking about mine specifically.
Okay. Well, I mean,
yeah, no.
Like when I, because whenever I go and have funeral potatoes for somebody else, it's always like scalloped like potatoes or
true or potatoes au gratin.
Yeah. But
when you get fancy with your scalloped potatoes,
yeah, right,
they become au gratin.
Like literally when we go and we see like the pre-made stuff in the box,
yeah,
and you see them on side by side, it's like, what is the difference?
I think one of them has milk in it and the other one doesn't. Like one's supposed to be runnier, but right. They both end up like thick and creamy. So I really don't know.
I don't know either. But no, seriously, we could talk about food, but no. Okay. So I got
all day.
I got these sweet tart jelly beans right here that I was munching on an episode of Journey into Wrestling. I was so hyped up for the episode. I had them sitting here cause I was eating them like before the show and me and him were just talking and I just completely forgot and started eating them and munching them on the show and I had to move them out of the way, but I love sweet. These are some of my favorites. And honestly, my favorite one's the blue one.
See, I don't like blue anything really.
Oh my god, I don't know what the flavor is, but it's like, to me it's awesome.
I'm like a hardcore pink kind of girl, but I don't really like sweet tart jelly beans. Give me the Jolly Rancher or the Starburst ones. Starburst every
one.
Day
I love the Starburst
and
ones
now
as well.
That they make just the pink bag,
that's like the
my
next step.
Life has been
it's
made.
The next step from the flavor ads,
yes,
going into it and
just strawberry,
like, but I'm a OCD candy eater.
I know.
I eat everything by color.
I know.
I'm actually doing a very good job on this one and just reaching my hand in and grabbing some. But whenever I grab them, I always eat them by color from my hand. So I grabbed a yellow and it goes first. Mm-hmm. It's my least favorite.
Weirdo.
I have two blue. I don't know what flavor
two blues?
On the blues.
On the blues. That's what our child says.
When we put him to bed.
Mm-hmm. He has these blankets. And the way that he knows how to describe things right now is by size or by color.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a big blue or the blue or the whatever color. And so the blues.
I've also got a bottle of water with a bunch of ice in it because I took too long editing a show.
And it turned into a popsicle.
Yeah, pretty much. So I've got like a bottle of Morocco, like a water Morocco.
Yeah, there. But these are also literally the loudest water bottles on the face of the planet.
I love that they're bigger, but I don't like the sound.
No, they're like the Ice Mountain sports bottles and they just are no fun because like that's just no fun to listen to at 3 a.m.
Like if you like actually go and like take a drink, it's like even louder.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But are there any other candy? Because of course, chocolate. Is
oh yeah!
Like other than Valentine's, I think. Chocolate.
Are you a solid bunny kind of guy or a hollow bunny kind of guy? Because me personally, I prefer the hollow bunnies. I think they're easier to eat.
Yeah.
They're cheaper. And I don't. I didn't.
Okay, so
I've
for the
had a too long of a list. I can't think of three.
Okay, so like for the bigger ones, I think I would go hollow. But
oh yeah,
smaller ones, I definitely want more of a chocolate.
Me, I like. The chocolate covered marshmallow eggs, like the ones that come in an egg carton.
Yeah, the
and they're like
ones.
A dollar. The Zachary brand.
Well, we live right near Zachary plant,
yes,
and that's where they make them.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we need to get some of those because those are awesome. The thing is that
delectable.
What started off, at least what it seems like, as an Easter candy, but it's now becoming every holiday candy is are Peeps.
Oh my God! Yes, they're disgusting.
I can eat like two. Maybe
it's
one.
The texture for me because like the softness of the marshmallow clashes terribly with the crunch of the sugar for me and it's just bad.
They're not the worst candy I've ever had, but I ate them when I was a kid. I don't really have a desire to eat one. Like if somebody said, "Hey man, here's a Peep." And it's like, "Okay." Cuz I remember last year didn't Wyatt get some?
I think so, and then like we just didn't eat them.
I think I ate like a couple, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't want any more.
I find that the older I get, the less I'm really like candy, you know. Unless it's
I miss
Twix bar,
well,
or a Reese's cup.
I miss gummy Lifesavers.
Fuck yeah!
I totally miss gummy Lifesavers.
Those were the bomb. They probably still exist, to be honest.
Yeah, but okay, so
Lifesavers holes.
Do you, I got a package of these a couple years ago, and they literally were the greatest thing I've ever had. And then I got a second bag of them, and then I'm like, okay, I've had enough. And those were the carrot cake M&Ms.
Oh God. Oh.
And
nope.
They were so awesome, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And then by that second bag, I'm like, oh,
too much.
I gotta finish them now.
Oh, like no. One or two was okay, but there was no way I was gonna eat an entire bag.
They're doing a lot more with the M&Ms. Like they took this long to do a caramel M&M,
right?
Which is so surprising that they took this long to do that,
and so amazing.
And oh, they're doing another vote for the M&M flavors.
Oh.
You know how they did the other one with the peanut M&M? So you had like three different peanuts.
Oh,
you had the coffee
yeah.
nut. Mm-hmm. You had the honey nut, which was amazing. And then the spicy nut, right?
I feel like I only tried the coffee and the honey.
No, you had the other ones.
Did I?
Yeah. Because remember, that was the episode that we did, one of the last sort of live episodes we did sort of Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was like that was Taco Togetherness 2.
Dose.
And we were ordered to bring enough back for everybody to try.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Very, you know, a very interesting thing about, like, about making podcasts with our friends and our family, because it's always just like, man, you guys take forever to do podcasts.
It's true.
And that night, actually, we did not take very long at all. We didn't really BS around, but it was still too long. Like, because when we got back, it was like, you guys took forever. It's like, we're here before 11.
What more do you want?
It's like, man, we zoomed right through it. We had a good time. If there's one thing that I can say about podcasts, it's how easily and quickly you can get away from you. More so in the time of when you don't see somebody all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's like, all right, so I don't see Nate. I don't see Mike all the time. So when we're going to podcast, number one is the setup. It's like, what are we going to talk about?
Oh,
number two, is there any other sort of business on the docket to cover? As far as like, for me and Nate, we always talk about network stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather talk about that in person over the messenger. Every once in a while it's over messenger, but in person it's always like, it's easier to see his face. We understand each other. And then it's also like, personally, how are you doing, man? How are the girls doing? How's the fam? How's your dad doing? And how's this going? And oh, by the way, this thing happened, you know? And it's like, after about a half hour of that, and then it's like, what took you guys so long? It's like, we're trying to have a relationship other than just doing a show.
Joanne and I certainly could get done faster because we talk every day, but we don't, because it's so much better to catch up in person and to like lay the show out in person.
Well, when you,
even though most of the time we just wing it,
you know, I will say there have definitely been times where we've definitely talked about nothing, a lot about nothing, and then just delayed starting the show. That has happened, but it's just, it was something I thought of. Intermittent, because I thought of the whole, my brain's kind of like on, it's not scatterbrained yet, although it kind of was.
We've had a rough week.
Yes, we have. But we went from, I'm like, hey, there's a new M&M vote, to describing the honey one, to saying this is when we did it, to saying we got yelled at that night, and then going to, like, is this why we got yelled at?
Welcome to podcasting with me.
But
we always end up coming full circle.
Okay, well, because we're going to, because the new... the new M&M flavor vote.
Oh, you looked it up. Hooray.
No, I'm going to.
Oh. The fuck have you been typing?
I haven't been typing at all. I just started.
Oh, I thought you were hitting keys over there.
I just like hit click right now so I could type it up.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. New M&M.
And you want to do a podcast like together.
I had thought about
more frequently.
I had thought about it. All right. So the new flavors, the last vote was all, they were all nuts. Okay.
Yeah.
So coffee nut,
mm-hmm.
Spicy nut, honey nut.
Mm-hmm.
These are all crunchy.
Ooh.
And these are crunchy espresso.
No.
Crunchy raspberry. Crunchy mint. And each flavor is made with dark chocolate wrapped.
No. Maybe dark chocolate raspberry. Like, that would be my vote of those three, but...
Yeah.
I'm not impressed.
Well, because, okay, number one, we don't need another coffee flavor that one.
No, oh my God, coffee needs to just die.
Wow, Joanna's like...
I know. Hating I'm this sorry. Right
I do, I did like the coffee nut because I felt like the coffee flavor wasn't overbearing. Mm-hmm. You know? It's not like... Do you remember when Gretchen made those, like, chocolate...
She didn't make them.
Oh, she didn't make them?
No. We had a Dove chocolate party, and they were, like, a thing from Dove.
Okay, well, because she gave them to me, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, they were, like, they were coffee.
Well, that's because they were chocolate-covered espresso beans.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
they were
actual coffee beans. That's
I know.
Why.
So, but I don't... Because this is going to be a crunch, like, a little Rice Krispie in there.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as intense as that. But we don't need another coffee flavor. Crunchy raspberry, they have a strawberry nut one now that's out. I haven't tried it. I have no desire to. I don't have a lot of desire for the crunchy raspberry. And crunchy mint is more like...
Is this going to taste like chocolate toothpaste?
Exactly. Especially with the dark chocolate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not as enthused.
Not so much, no.
Who won the last Lay's vote?
Fuck if I know. I don't even remember what the flavors were. The last ones I remember are like biscuits and gravy.
That one won.
Yeah.
That one won.
Which were surprisingly okay.
They, you know what? Yeah, they were. Out of the ones that of that year, that one was my favorite. Mm. But I want to say 2017 because they don't have one yet.
I don't know why I keep yawning.
I don't know either.
It's not even that late.
No, it isn't. Oh, come on. Oh, I did try these. Okay. Which one of these won?
I remember that, like, when they were still trying to narrow it down, you did, like, the this or that survey for them. Because you kept asking me, like, which flavor I would vote for.
Okay. So these were the...
Really?
Shut up, Kat. Kat, we're trying to talk about food. We're trying to talk about we're trying to talk about potato chips. So this was written in October of last year. We need to see who won because I only tried the one, but Crispy Taco was that one.
Oh yeah.
That was so good. Mm-hmm. They had the wavy one was the avocado toast.
That's such a millennial flavor.
I am genuinely unimpressed.
Someone in San Francisco submitted that.
You know, you can actually look on the back of the bag and see where the person, where they're from. But
just seems like something.
Watch them be from like Kansas or something.
Like a Bay Area hipster was like.
Oceanfront property in Kansas.
We need avocado toast chips.
Shut up.
My God.
Go away.
No one has ever given me attention.
We're just talking about them. Kettle cooked. There are two kettle flavors.
I am not a fan of kettle. Except for Jimmy John's. I like theirs. Just the barbecue ones.
Not the Sam's Club. No, the Costco. When we went to Costco for that one time.
We went more than once.
For like
we had a year-long membership.
That we only like utilized for like a third of.
True.
But still.
Sorry, Costco. You're just too far away.
I
love Costco.
I love their produce. Everything bagel with cream cheese.
Oh.
Kettle cooked. I never got to try it.
Interesting.
Because it always scared me.
They're like $2 a bag and you're like, nah.
Well, I would much rather buy a smaller bag because if I didn't like it, at least, even though you're paying almost the same amount, at least it's like less to throw away. I'm yeah. feeling like, even
less
though.
Waste.
Even though we waste a lot of food in this house.
Yeah.
Anyway, last one. Kettle cooked, smoked Gouda and honey.
Gouda.
I don't know if it was Gouda, but it wasn't good enough to win the vote. Because it does say who won. Crispy taco, bitch.
Yeah.
Hell yes. I cannot wait to see that on the shelves and get that.
If I recall correctly, you could taste like every part of the taco.
Yes.
Like you could taste fresh lettuce and the spices and the meat. It was like freaking incredible. So good.
Yes. And there was actually another wavy one. It was fried green tomato.
Ooh.
That's why I don't recognize...
I've never actually had one.
That's why I didn't recognize the avocado toast.
They scare me.
Which one? What?
Fried green tomatoes.
Like, I had one when I was a kid. Yeah. Like, we used to fry everything.
Of course. That's like, what you did in the 90s.
Well, I mean, like, one of my favorite fried foods is zucchini. I love fried zucchini. It was like... Oh, I'm really actually surprised that they didn't make any... But maybe it may not have been... enough time in the year, but like when we would go to my grandpa's birthday, Father's Day thing, and they would fry a bunch of fish and
I miss doing that.
I do too.
So good. This cat is determined.
Well, it's bad enough that I'm back here because he does this all the time when I do a show.
But he's like, there's nobody to give me attention. I'm going to die. It's been 19 and a half minutes. You're not going to die.
I really enjoy them doing these flavor stuff. I wish Mountain Dew would do it more.
Yeah, because they've come out with like some really good ones. I can't remember their names. I'm sure you do because you're Brandonpedia.
2008 was the first one they did the Democracy.
Yes.
And the Revolution flavor.
Was that the pink one?
No, that was the light blue one.
Oh, that I liked the pink one.
That was Supernova.
Yeah.
But Revolution was my favorite, and Supernova was close second, and Voltage was like far third, and it
won. That's the orange one, right?
No, Voltage is the dark blue one with the raspberry, and it won.
No, Livewire is the orange one.
Yeah. No, they didn't do a vote for Livewire.
No, that one.
That was well before. Livewire was the third flavor.
That one is just good, stand on its own.
Yeah.
They need a diet version. We have Diet Code Red. We need Diet Livewire.
They actually did... a flavor called Diet or Ultraviolet, which was very similar to a Revolution flavor. Mm. And actually, they actually did a diet tournament vote thing where you, it was like kind of like a March Madness type thing where like you'd have to go online and you had to vote for each flavor as it kind of came across. And Diet Supernova won, and it was awesome. It was pretty freaking close to the Supernova flavor. But without the ginseng, so it didn't have the tang or whatever that. It's weird because they brought back Supernova for like that one year or that one summer, and we bought the crap out of it and I like hoarded it.
Yeah.
And then shortly after they did the diet thing, so
we did with the high C when it came out.
Ecto Cooler, yeah.
Man, we found that at like our local. It's not Kroger, but it's like the Kroger version of Aldi.
Yeah, Ruler.
Yeah. And it was so cheap and they had so much of it. And so we just bought a ton of it and we had it for months.
Why? That was Wyatt's first non-water
or
milk or formula.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
Yeah.
And
I was like, I got to give you a little taste of my childhood.
Yeah. And unfortunately, he's never going to remember it unless they bring it back again. Yeah. I hope they do.
Yes.
But I, you know, for the whole Lay's thing and, you know, for the M&M's thing, you know, it's kind of cool that they're doing that. You know, for the jelly beans, how cool would it be for them to do a Sour Patch Kids jelly bean?
Ooh, where they're covered in like the sour sugar.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Yeah. A little easier to eat, a little smaller, but like they wouldn't be as like gummy, so like they would be more of a bean.
Watch next summer we're gonna or next spring we're gonna
and
see
I will not get any money from it.
No,
absolutely not. They listen to this podcast and go, yes, we're gonna do that.
Yeah, totally gonna steal our ideas, make millions.
I don't know what else to talk about food wise.
You were talking about Easter, so we could talk more about Easter food that's not candy.
Okay. Because
we've got ham, and we've got cheesy potatoes of some variety. What other rolls? Because then you can make a ham cheesy potato sandwich.
You know, at this point, you know, we are at a funeral. But it's like the resurrection, so it's different. So you had a banquet after they died, and then now they're having a banquet now that he's back, you know?
Do you think they ate ham at the Last Supper?
Probably alpaca or some sort.
This is what happens when atheists discuss religious holidays.
I guess so. I mean,
terribly offensive.
Yeah, it might. Well, I'm trying to be tasteful. I'm not trying to be overly offensive.
I don't really care.
No. Well, I mean, I'm not gonna like make any obscene offensive jokes about people's beliefs. I'm not gonna. I mean,
you can have zombie Jesus Day. It's fine.
I am making light Jesus humor, and you can do that.
I will continue making light Jesus humor.
Okay. I don't think we're not religious, we never really have like observed or done any like special meal for Easter. Have we ever gone to like your parents' house for Easter?
Yeah.
What do we have?
Way before Wyatt, like we used to go to Mamaw and Papaw's for Easter.
Did you and I go for that?
Probably.
I don't remember.
I don't. But
of all the things that I remember about like
right.
actual useless shit.
Oh God. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. It's like I don't remember. I used to be like, I'm not very good like gatherer type dude. I don't like going to family functions.
Oh, okay. I'm like hunter gatherer.
No, not Trapper Trader Joe. No.
God. Oh shit.
Smack your face with.
I just hit my teeth.
Blaine, the whole criticism of being right up on the mic. At least she hit her tooth on that one.
Sorry. I was going to say guide, scout, and interpreter.
So there's we watch a lot of cooking shows on YouTube.
I'm just going to be over here dying. Sorry.
You know, I get set, I can talk. I was going to say that I get told, but I started saying this. I get told you need to watch this show. Oh, Brandon, you need to watch this show. And I'm like, how long's a season? 25,000 episodes per season. It's like, that's too long
Never.
For me, man. It's too long for me. And someone's like, man, why have you watched this shit? And that's because due to lack of time is to actually invest in a seasonal episode. Like, there's only a few shows that I ever watch consistently.
There's only a couple of shows that I really give a shit about to watch like weekly as they come on. Everything else I'm like, I'll binge it on Netflix later. And then I still watch Call the Midwife and Law and Order SVU just over and over, because why the fuck not.
But when I get home from work, if there's podcasts to be done and that kind of stuff, or just when there aren't podcasts going on, I also like to do other things. I have like 8 million games that I need to play. I have,
You have a plethora of hobbies.
Yes. And the thing is that I can't, I don't like spending all that time watching television. That's just not something that I like to do too often. So when it comes time to like, by the time we're making dinner, it's like already 8 o'clock past.
Oh yeah.
And I don't like to, and this is just me, I don't like to always be invested in something that close before bed.
Yeah.
Because then my brain's going. And if my brain's going, that means I'm not sleeping. During Game of Thrones season or during Walking Dead, when we're watching it that late at night, that can be bad for me.
Yeah.
Some episodes, sometimes I'll be like thinking about it and I'm laying there going, go to sleep, stop, shut up, go to sleep.
It's easier for me because I go to bed later than you.
But, like, I don't have enough time to digest it, so my brain's going through all this stuff. So that's why I don't watch a lot of stuff as they come out. But a lot of times it's like, well, what do you want to watch? And then it's like, a cooking show?
Because what better time to watch a cooking show than when you're already eating?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get hungry.
Exactly.
Like, that's the worst part about watching the Food Network.
Yeah.
Is that all the food looks so delicious. You're like, okay, I've not eaten in 18 years. Where is my food?
Yeah, but I don't like to watch Food Network so much because it's like, it's a half hour show. And it's like, I want to just, like, sometimes the YouTube stuff is like, hey, it's like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's
bite size.
And I watch a lot of YouTube and it's a lot more bite size like that. So, like, I can watch it, get in, get out. If I need to watch another episode or watch another video, I can. But usually after that, I'm done eating. It's like, all right, it's time to go and start packing up and go to bed.
Yeah.
But we, like, We have how many? It's like 1, 2, 3.
We've got a couple people that we watch.
Right, because there's a...
There's Shotgun Red.
Shotgun Red.
Most notable.
Cook It With Shotgun Red.
Hunter, Fisher, Trapper, Trader, Guide, Scout, Interpreter, and Country Cook, Shotgun Red.
Well, his name is not Shotgun Red. That's the name of the puppet. Steve Hall.
Yeah, Steve Hall.
He makes like more like a country, southern style of recipes a lot. And he does some barbecue stuff, but he does stuff inside too, which I like.
It's like real people food. It's not like some fancy, you know, shit that, you know, you're putting on a dinner party.
Yeah.
For, you know, your colleagues.
And the one reason why I like him is that he doesn't come off as like a big time chef.
No.
He's just a dude who likes to cook.
Yeah.
And I like that because it makes him relatable. You know, like we watch Barbecue Pit Boys number one, their videos are just so goofy.
The goofiest.
And so like, as far as like just the overdubbing and everything like that, but watching their videos and just trying to emulate it is like improved like my cooking skills in general.
First got together, you didn't know how to make macaroni and cheese out of a box.
Yes, I did.
You told me you didn't.
BS. No, just because I wanted you to make it.
Well, then that's shitty.
It was, yes.
Like, how do you not... You boil water and pour it in.
I know how to make mac and cheese because I made... my mom... Because when I was a kid, I made it. And I would put seasoning in it. Like garlic salt. And all this stuff. And I put too much in there.
God.
And it was awful. And I had to.
You had to eat it because your mom would have spanked your butt for wasting it.
Yep. I had to eat the whole thing. I was trying to be like my buddy. And he's like, and his was good. It was like, but I didn't know the measurements. I put way too much in. So no, I did know how to make. Bank mac and cheese. I did not know how to cook a lot of stuff, mac and cheese, grilled cheese, stuff like that.
I mean, we've been together for almost 13 years,
mm-hmm.
and your cooking skill has improved greatly over that time to where now at least one night a week you make dinner.
Yeah.
Here lately, it's been way more than that.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith almost died and you stepped up your cooking game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and I want to feel like I was doing more because more so that like you just kind of fall into a funk, you know, and it's like, you know, no, I want to do this because I want to learn how to make even more stuff and try and figure stuff out because I found that it's something that I enjoy doing a lot. And if I weren't doing podcasts, if I weren't gaming, if I didn't have a bunch of hobbies, I would be cooking all the time.
I appreciate that you're cooking more because I kind of get bored after a while doing it because there for a while we were having like a lot of the same stuff just because we were like in a rut, and now we're trying new things all the time. We've been doing like those meal delivery boxes and branching out, and I love it. Especially because you'll see something on YouTube and say, oh, that looks good, and then actually make it. You're not like the average Pinterest user who like has 800 boards full of food and they're like, I'll make it someday.
No, the first one I did was the pulled pork barbecue.
And it turned out amazing.
Well, because who doesn't love pulled pork barbecue? But like, you know, you make it in like a slow cooker or something like that and it's covered with sauce. And hey, you know, I like that shit. That's good. But I'm like, no,
it's not real barbecue.
You know, I want, you know, because we, you know, like you go down south or you have like a real barbecue where it's like just they just smoked pulled pork, and then it's not you can have it smothered in sauce, but sauce is more of a condiment. I'm like, I want to know how to do that.
Yeah,
because that is so tasty. And I just watched it and I tried it, and the first time I tried it, I messed it up. It was so dry, and it took me a half hour to shred. So in that case, it's like, you know what? It was still delicious because the sauce, you could smother it in sauce and make it, but still like
sauce covers a multitude of
sins. Since then, I've never messed it up and got it right 100% of the time. Most of the people who are on this network have tried it and love it. Like that to me was like, yes, I have succeeded, because we did a Memorial Day cookout last year where Nate, Veronica, and Sarah came down. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. You're just looking at me like, what are you talking about?
No. I'm like corner of my eye watching the monitor.
Oh, just yeah. Baby. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the downside of having a show with both parents on at the same time.
We have to wait until after bedtime.
I will do my best though if we have to stop. You're never gonna know we stopped.
It's not like butt stuff where it's like, and we're gonna stop.
And we're back, and we've been gone for 3 hours.
It's happened.
But no, okay, so like you got like, you know, you're both people who host this show normally. Veronica and Nate, and of course we're missing the other two. Of course, I've never met Lauren, but I've met AP. You know, both of them told me, this is the fucking shit.
And they've had bombers, so.
Well, and that's some of the best, you know, barbecue that, joints like, I've ever had.
Hands down the best.
As far as like, if it's not like done by a legit like bro down south.
Truthfully though, if I could have your barbecue with their sauce, I think that, and like their pretzel buns.
You know, I want to, next time I go up, I'm going to ask to see if I can't buy.
Like a half gallon?
I don't know how much you can buy, because I mean I want some of that stuff bottled.
Ugh, it's.
Do you remember
good.
When you could buy Arby's sauce bottled?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That shit is the bomb.
And they're like, no more. And then they want like, want to bogart it and only give you like 2 packets.
Oh my god! Every time you go and you're like, I need a lot of sauce because you've got like 15 Arby's roast beefs in your bag. Like that one time. And they give you 3 packets of sauce. And they're like, that's enough.
Didn't we go in there and like we had like a coupon where you got just a normal roast beef. But we got like.
We ordered like, I think we had a coupon where you could use it up to 6 times. And it was a really good deal. So that's what we did. But then we got home and realized we had like 2 or 3 times as many sandwiches as we were supposed to have. And so we ate Arby's for like days.
Speaking of missed orders, do you remember when Pizza Hut kept messing up our orders?
That one time when Matt was over, mm-hmm. and we ended up with like, what was it, 6 or 7 pizzas?
No, I think, okay, so we each got a pizza apiece.
Mm-hmm. And they messed like 2 of them up.
So we got 5 pizzas, and then we ended up getting like more breadsticks too.
Something like that. We ended up with a lot of fucking pizza.
I remember, I've been ever since WrestleMania 27, which was 2011. I've been making wings or had wings or got wings every year.
Yes, it's
like,
a thing.
It's like my new tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And for one of them, one of the years, I got Pizza Hut wings or Wing Street.
Yeah,
you know, because sometimes I like to just. Every year, it's like I try to decide what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to make them or order them, and I'll just and I don't always get the same ones. I
prefer when you make them because I think they're better.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, because we always just order boneless wings from Pizza Hut, and those are just really adult chicken nuggets.
Absolutely.
When you make wings, they're like wings.
No, they're always bone in.
They just melt in your mouth. They fall off the bone. They're mm-hmm. amazing.
So, you were doing a photo shoot that day.
Probably.
And I'm pretty sure this was...
That's my day job.
Pretty sure this was 29, WrestleMania 29. Because we were living here, and you were gone with your shoot, and I ordered the wings, and then... Because I got wings for me and you. And they got one of the flavors wrong and sent Asian Zing instead.
Oh. And I don't remember this.
And then I told you, hey, they got them wrong. And then you called them, and they came by with another set of wings. So we got the Asian ones for free.
They're always really good about fixing their mistake.
I remember, like, they actually came back out just to give us sauce once or cheese.
Yeah,
you know. So
well, I mean, if you have to pay for cheese, so if I pay for it, I better get it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I tip the drivers well because I know that they make. Below a livable wage. So
as we record this, we are currently not tomorrow, but so we're 2 weeks away from WrestleMania this time, and I have a $50 gift certificate for Wings Etc. that I won on the radio from my buddy Strange.
You have like the weirdest luck with radio contests. I'm disappointed that you've never won the money ones, though.
Well, because more people enter that one.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I've won two Metallica CDs and some Wings, et cetera, a $50 gift card, which two people won. I was one of two. But
yeah, when you told me that you won that, I was like, oh, cool. We'll have like $10. It'll be a great discount on a meal. And then you come home and you're like, it's $50. And I'm like, the fuck? That's like two whole meals.
Right. Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, I'm excited for that because number one, it's free food.
Yeah.
You know, and number two, their bone-in wings are good. I've had a boneless and they were just too small for me.
See, I don't like their wings, but the curly fries and their ranch,
yeah.
thebomb.com.
Speaking of ranch.
Yes.
Do you remember when we had our own barbecue joint down here?
Oh my God.
It was called Hillbilly Barbecue. And they had these seasoned crinkle fries.
Oh.
Dipped in the milkiest, runniest ranch.
Ranch
that you've ever had. This stuff was like the runniest shit,
but it was so good.
God.
And Wings Etc. has come the closest to replicating it, but Hillbilly is now closed and I am forever sad.
Oh my gosh, their pork tenderloins were amazing.
Ugh. If you've never had a hand pounded and breaded tenderloin that has been deep fried,
that is my...
You are not
That
living.
Is my goal, is to do that.
Yes.
I definitely want to do that. Oh, while we're talking about stuff that I've made from YouTube, which we got away from.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about who else we watch on YouTube.
Yeah, I haven't tried anything from Shotgun Red yet, I don't think. But Barbecue Pit Boys, I've tried the pulled pork barbecue. I've tried the turkey breast and full turkey. And the ham. Mm-hmm. I've smoked all those. And then I've done the ribs. And those didn't turn out as good. But it wasn't my fault because I didn't realize there were two racks of ribs in the package.
We got really surprised. He opened up the package. We thought we had one rack of ribs. And he pulls it apart and there's two. And I'm like, well, no wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, because... I mean, I just thought they were really big ribs.
Right.
Next time, though, I want to try the ribs again. And
like
I
some Fred Flintstone fucking ribs.
Yeah, no kidding, right? But I want to give the ribs another shot. I definitely want to give the full turkey another shot, too. I about had an anxiety attack and meltdown this year because the pressure's on when you got to supply, you supply the whole turkey for some, you know, for your family.
Yes.
And it turned
and
out...
not for just your small family. It's like, it was
other people.
My family.
Yeah, I was basically taking the spot of the main cooker.
Yeah.
And hopefully it turned out good for everybody. I think it did, but I kind of like mistimed the temperature going in. It was just too hot and I couldn't get it to cool down fast enough.
We lost the turkey skin, but saved the rest of the bird.
Yeah, no, it turned out really good. I was afraid it was going to get way too dry.
Yeah.
And it did not, no. Thankfully. In fact, yeah, like the skin wasn't burnt. It actually looked it.
It was just dark and crispy.
Well, yeah, and then like around the legs, it was perfect.
Oh.
Around that, it was perfect. But
I didn't need any skin.
No, the breasts have turned out really good. The hamster. Oh, I did the salmon that one time.
Oh, God, that was good.
Where I had the big salmon filet.
Mm-hmm. And then I made the creamy dill sauce.
And then because I made, if you remember, I made like the custom
aluminum foil boat.
Yeah, because it was so big. And then I just smoked it on there and it was really good. Definitely need to do that again. I've been wanting to do that again for you.
We haven't had salmon in forever.
No, I'm not the biggest fan, but I know you love it.
And then we watch... Tom with All Things Barbecue.
All Things Barbecue. He's a bit more of a
actual chef.
Yeah. So I mean, so you get to learn some actual some knowledge stuff from this dude.
The way that he breaks down meat is an art.
Yes. Yes.
His knives. Oh my God, they're so sharp.
But again, it's also like he mixes his the higher class chef videos. Like he's like a barbecue Gordon Ramsay type thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and I like watching his stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, he does, like, those little bites videos.
Yes, yeah. I like to watch this. In fact, I got inspired for the burgers, like for like when I did the 50-50 burgers, that's another thing that from Barbecue Pit Boys that I've done. But
oh yeah, those are good.
It was his burger recipe, or watching him make burgers inspired me to look up other burger stuff, and I found the 50-50 burger.
Oh yeah.
Because the 50-50 burger, guys, I haven't made this for anybody else. No one else has tried them.
I can assure you, it is delicious.
But you take a pound of bacon, and you smoke it on the grill for about an hour.
Till it's not quite done.
No, and I'm trying to think the temperature, about 300, maybe a little less. And so, yeah, no, you don't want it done, but you want it started. Bring it in the house, throw it in a food processor, don't cut that shit up, takes too long.
And you, 'cause you want it fine.
You want it minced. And then you're going to mix it in with about 2 pounds of ground sirloin. The reason you're going with the ground sirloin is because you want a really lean meat, because you're adding all the bacon fat into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you don't want to get like the really fatty stuff.
You don't want 70-30.
No, because then you're just going to dilute it even more.
But too much fat.
But with this, you're adding just a perfect amount. And then you're going to mix it together the best you can and get your hands dirty. And then you're going to make your patties. And you're going to get an awesome mixed up bacon cheeseburger. And then you throw that on the grill and you smoke those.
And sometimes you put bacon on top.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I've started doing the... And this is from the Gordon Ramsay thing. You take a whole slice of onion, put that on the grill, and it just caramelizes it.
I prefer to do caramelized onions the old-fashioned way.
You can do that
in a skillet with butter.
I really dig the smokiness that it gives to the caramelized onion.
I just don't like the texture personally.
Yeah,
because you know me and onion.
We'll see what we could do is that we've got that cast iron now.
Oh yeah.
And we could
put that we need on to actually use for the first time.
Yeah, but we can utilize that. Can you imagine making fajitas on the grill?
Oh.
Utilizing the cast iron for like the onions and mm-hmm. like in the peppers.
For sure.
And then utilizing the grill for like the steak or the chicken or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, anyways, please.
How long have we been? I can't
like
see.
Like 45 that. Minutes. Damn. We should maybe talk about a movie.
So we wanted to talk about The Room. And The Disaster Artist, which I don't know how much has been discussed on Foodies Watching Movies, but we watched The Room probably about almost 2 months ago now.
Has it been that long?
Early February.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
See, because I got sick, and we watched it when I got sick.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
No. I have mom brain.
I just, you just talked about
it's
this.
It's Swiss cheese.
You
up
just
here.
Talked about this on Butt Stuff.
Did I?
Yeah, not that long ago. It was an episode I listened to maybe from like a few weeks back. But I got sick on a Saturday, pretty bad. Pretty similar to what we've been dealing with a whole week with our kid.
Rotavirus is so much fun.
And I didn't get sick again on Sunday, but decided to call in to work on Monday because I wasn't able to eat anything and I was just
weak.
Miserable and weak. And it was getting late, and I said, do you want to watch a movie? And like, sure, what? And I'm like, how about The Room? And I kind of had to drag you into it a little bit.
I was like, what the fuck is... Oh, I remember, because your stomach hurt.
Yes.
And you didn't want to laugh because you suggested something more serious first. And I was like, let's watch The Room.
Oh, that's what it was.
Oh, no, I said, let's watch The Disaster Artist. And you said you wanted to watch The Room first.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because, yes. Like, we have seen so much of The Room online through reviews, that guy with the glasses. Or
CinemaSins.
So that we know the movie.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen it from, like, the actual cut of the movie from beginning to end. So we watched it, and...
My commentary was on point.
Yeah, it definitely was. But see, the thing is, also, is that... What makes this movie work is that it's so serious.
It was never intended to be funny.
No. One of the things that I can compare it to is, and maybe this is a bad comparison, the Street Fighter movie from the 90s with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Never seen it.
It tries to be funny at times and be like a action comedy type thing. But it is so bad that you're laughing at all of it.
Of course.
And this movie is definitely that. The Room. Watching The Disaster Artist and seeing their take on it, and again, you wonder how accurate it really was,
right?
But
I said that I wanted to read the book,
right? Well, because the movie is based on the book written by Greg,
yes,
Greg Sestero,
Tommy
Wiseau's best buddy,
mm-hmm. He is the same age as.
Oh yeah, apparently. So, you just made me laugh at that. So he wrote the book about basically, you know, making of the movie or whatever. And then they make the movie. About making the movie. And of course, it was directed by James Franco. And then he starred in it as well as Tommy. And holy crap, did he not nail Tommy?
Oh, it was perfect.
Like, I feel like he didn't always nail the voice, but he nailed his action. He nailed his kookiness and weirdness. Yeah.
The facial expressions?
Yes. Yeah. The Room, guys, is just... It was released in 2003, but it seems like it should have been like released in 93.
Yeah.
And the acting is bad pretty much across the board. I don't think there's a solid actor in the damn thing.
No.
Some of the girl actresses, some of the actresses remind me of.
It took me a second. Girl actresses.
Yeah. some of the actresses remind me of. People who were like that would have been on Undressed back in the, on the MTV days.
I used to watch Undressed.
Same.
Yep.
I remember me and Rob watched the full first season. We were into that crap. We were like, oh yeah.
I'm younger than you by a couple of years. So I had to like watch it. I had a TV in my room that had cable. So I had to like watch it late at night when my parents thought I was asleep, and I kept my finger on the flashback button so it could switch back to Disney Channel.
That's how I watched softcore porn when I was younger.
Yeah, we just had basic cable, so.
Well, I mean, I didn't always have Skinemax or Showtime or HBO, but in fact, sometimes you'd have to watch it when it was scrambled. But like our Showtime sometimes would come in pretty good when it was scrambled. So, like, the picture would be a little washed out. And, like, at the very top of the screen, you'd see, like, a little bit of a snow. But, like, the sound would be perfect. So, you could, like...
You get the effect.
Yeah. But, like, The Room starts off with, like, a sex scene. It has, like, three sex scenes within the first 20 minutes of the movie.
It's not really a sex scene. Really, Gohan?
Every time I do a show, he's back there yelling.
God.
Yes, it is so annoying.
He's ridiculous. But it can't really be called a sex scene because he was very clearly fucking her belly button.
True. And watching The Disaster Artist portion of that movie with him walking out with like this
barely a sock.
I don't even know what it was. Was it a sock? Because it looked like pantyhose.
I don't know. I mean, normally I think they use like a gaff. Like where they like flatten your dick down.
Well, no, it wasn't flattened because it was just kind of dangling.
I'm just saying typically that's what they use in case you get a boner.
I've often wondered like when they do sex scenes, like it's got to be so awkward and that's why they probably don't get too aroused. But like I can just imagine doing a scene with a girl and just being like, yeah, I am so sorry.
That's why typically you wear a gaff because it keeps your dick down, even if you get a boner.
And then there's also people like scenes where they say they actually had sex during the scene. I saw a list not that long ago that were like, yeah, these two people actually did that, and I can't remember now what it was. What even some of them were.
I wouldn't have expected that, like, ever.
It's all about the performance, man. It's called method acting. That's all porn is.
Okay.
No, the disaster artist was awesome.
I really
enjoyed it.
It was hilarious.
But I will say you do need to watch The Room first.
Yes.
You need to watch The Room because
And honestly, The Room is equally as funny.
Oh, no.
Unintentionally, but...
No, The Room is hilarious to watch, but you need to sit through that in order to, like, while they're making it, for you to understand... Because it was so much easier to follow what scenes they were doing and when they were doing it.
Yes.
For all of the making of parts, it was perfect. Because then also, now that you've seen the movie, and then when they go to the premiere and it was awesome the way they did it, too, because the scenes that they chose to act out for them making it for the whole process were different than the ones that they showed you
during the premiere.
During the premiere,
so it's like they made a shot for shot recreation of The Room
in a way, but then like you weren't seeing the same scene again.
Yeah,
you know, so like you were seeing the premiere, but now you're seeing something entirely different and new, so that way you're engaged. But then if you've already seen the original movie, yes, you actually are noticing how close they actually got, like the whole flower shop scene.
Oh my God. They put them side by side at the end of The Disaster mm-hmm. Artist, and it's literally like second for second, almost perfect.
Sometimes they're in stereo as far as like the actual audio. A couple times they were off, but you can't be perfect.
No, it's like human error, but it was so close, it was scary.
How refreshing was it to see Seth Rogen in something where he's not being overly loud and obnoxious?
And not just completely baked all the time?
Well, I mean, he probably was.
But it wasn't a plot point.
But he was a side character in this movie. He wasn't a main character at all.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a lot of times, I kind of feel like Seth Rogen got overexposed for a while because he kind of got like, I don't want to say typecast because he probably picked his own roles, but you saw him a lot and kind of doing the same kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, he tends to make movies with the same couple of people.
Well, that and this movie was one of those as well.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very, very like refreshing to see him in this role where it's kind of limited and it's not nearly even the focus.
Yeah.
But literally like the scene where he's filming, where he's walking out saying, like, I did not hit her. It is bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yes.
That, like, literally when Seth said that and the dryness in his tone.
Yes.
Cracked me up.
Agree.
Oh, man.
And then they had to keep saying it.
And then at one point, the entire casting
everybody
crew was saying it in stereo. What's his line?
And then Greg's like, let's give him a water bottle. And he gets it.
But he was looking at the camera. Oh, man. It was great. I cannot recommend.
You cannot.
I cannot recommend you guys enough watch this movie because he really followed dreams. And
is this going to be your new accent? But he doesn't have an accent. He's from New Orleans.
No, I'm from New Orleans.
Where?
The bayou.
Where?
New Orleans.
Where?
The bayou.
No, he goes, the Big Easy? New Orleans. Okay.
Yes, yes, no. I got no accent. I'm same age as you. Same year.
You're 19. Okay.
I had an accident. And I almost died. But then I...
Can we talk about the fact that no one knows where he's from or how old he is or how he got the almost $6 million it took to create The Room?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is this man of mystery?
Blaine has a theory that he was in the bad car wreck that mm-hmm. nearly killed him is part of the reason why he's so weird and kooky, because it kind of messes his brain up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And the money he got was part of the settlement for that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it might be.
But maybe that messed his speech up because, I mean,
I had a bad accident and almost died.
A knock to the head.
And then I survived.
Change how you speak.
How does he say it? How was it? Like, I almost died, but then I lived.
Yeah. don't remember.
Like
it was something like
I had a bad accident and almost died, but then I lived. Yeah. Oh, no, really?
That is how things kind of happen.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, so in the room, I never quite understood. So they're having a party in their apartment. And then they're like, okay, let's go up to the rooftop. Let's go outside for some air.
Yes.
And, like, I never really quite understood other than Lisa trying to be alone with Mark. Like, why would everybody be like, yeah, let's go outside?
I don't know. I mean, people at parties go outside to smoke.
Yeah. But, like...
But then, you know, the whole Lisa Greg thing, they're, like, teetering on the edge of being caught.
Mark.
Yeah.
Played by Greg.
Yes, my bad. God. This is why I don't talk about movies, because yes. I fucked shit up.
Dude, and is she not just a complete piece of shit? Okay.
I love you so much. Thanks for the gift. I'm going to go fuck your best friend. Bye.
Yeah, no, she has a sugar daddy, essentially.
Yeah.
And he's like living and working and doing everything for her, going to buy her a house, doing all this stuff. And instead of just saying, look, not that into you anymore. I think we should just see other people. She's like, no, I'm going to go behind your back, still sleep with you while I'm doing it, and try to seduce your friend.
I guess we can't be too mad at it since Tommy wrote it himself.
You are correct. But I'm just
It was
like,
his vision, Brandon.
What did I say? I severely doubt like the validity of their relationship. Because they've been together for 5 years and they don't say, I love you, bye, be safe when they leave. Like, okay, got to go, bye.
Our child is 2.5 and yells, be safe when I leave.
Exactly. I mean, when you're saying goodbye to somebody that you love, whether they're whether you're in a relationship, family member, friend, whatever.
Right.
You say bye, be safe, you know. Hey.
Or every girl's night ends with a hug. I love you. Text me when you get home.
Yeah, you know, like I was about ready to get there. You know, every time that I leave, or when Nate leaves here, where I was like, hey, shoot me a text or let me know you made it safe. You know,
yeah.
And it's
because when you care about people, you want to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, exactly. And but then like when Johnny's going to work, like the day after, like they just had coitus. Or rather, he had coitus with her belly button.
Yes. There was some not quite penetration happening.
And then she laid awake that night just like, oh my God, I'm so tired of this guy. And then he doesn't say, I love you. She doesn't say, I love you. Even though, like, emotionally, she's not, in love with him anymore. Like, they're just like, okay, got to go, bye.
Right.
And it's like.
Maybe she didn't love him anymore because he tried to fuck her belly button. Maybe that was like a. Point of tension in their relationship.
It might have been.
He didn't know where to put his pee.
Well, I mean, that's not where I would pee, but I'm just saying, you know, you might have a point. The thing is,
like psychoanalyzing a fake relationship.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what I was doing too. I was like, yeah, no, this like from the get go, and of course, like that's where my brain would go. It's like it's. Like, here's this movie that is so bad and so badly written, and you're just sort of thinking about it like it's way too in-depth.
This is just an unrealistic relationship in this movie.
Yeah. It's awesome how the Disaster Artist got so many things perfectly right. Like you said, like the actress that played the mom was almost dead on.
I definitely have breast cancer.
And the actress who played Lisa got her mannerisms.
Yes.
Like as far as like how she kind of like moved her lips. Like rah, rah.
The only thing I've ever seen her in besides The Disaster Artist is Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, and she played like a drunk party girl in that. Hmm. So when I saw her, I was like, oh yeah, she'll be perfect for the Lisa role.
During the casting call, we laughed pretty hard at the cowgirl.
I don't remember what she said.
I don't know what she said either, but she they were Tommy and Greg were just giving them kind of like crazy scenarios to act out.
Ride a horse. Am I still riding the horse? Do it Shakespeare, but sexy.
Am I still the cowgirl?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
A sexy Shakespearean cowgirl.
No, that was the sexy Shakespeare was a different girl.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever. It'd still be funny.
Yeah.
So
he's obnoxious.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we're probably going to have to wrap this up here soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting close to quitting time here.
I need pizza.
Same here. And, you know, this show, or at least it used to, it's been a while since I listened to a full episode of Foodies, but they used to rate their movies based on pizza slices.
Oh.
So,
out of 5 or out of 10?
Out of 5.
A pizza usually has 8 slices, though.
It's out of 5.
Okay.
Because you have to share the pizza with other people. It's like if we bought 10 pizzas and everybody in the room gets 5 and you get to associate 5 slices with a certain movie. However.
Up to 5 slices.
You can go, if you give it a 3, you can give it like a 3-point something.
Yeah.
But you got to add toppings to justify the points.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so for the room.
Wait, are we rating the room on the movie it's supposed to be or the movie that it is?
The movie that it is.
Okay.
Okay. The room, to me, gets 1 pizza slice with an anchovy.
I think that might be generous.
I give it 1 slice because that's as low as you can go. And it's a little salty. To have set through it. But it's still probably not the worst movie I've ever watched.
Okay. I'm going to go with 2 pizza slices.
Okay. So you're being more generous than I am.
But they don't have cheese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I used to eat pizza like that.
You're a monster.
Yeah. It was weird. I used to not like mashed potatoes either.
Well, I wouldn't like that on my pizza either.
Not on my pizza, but just in general. We should try, make some kind of mashed potato pizza.
Okay, so Disaster Artist. I'm going to give Disaster Artist 3 slices with a deluxe topping because it's about a 3 3/4 for me. It's just under a 4. The reason is that I did enjoy it. But there were parts in it that, were more funny. Like, it wasn't as funny as I feel it could have been because I think it was trying to be really true to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But some of that was, not as fun to watch as the rest of the movie, if that makes any sense.
Oh, okay.
There were just parts about it that were And then it would pick up.
Yeah, there were some, slower parts.
Yeah, I felt I honestly feel like the movie at times because it was trying to follow Greg was supposed to be the main character.
Yeah,
but at times it seemed like Tommy was the main character.
Yes,
and I feel like it kept doing this type of thing, and then at one point when the movie was kind of pretty much done, when him and Tommy had the falling out.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went off to his own thing, and then Tommy finished the movie,
yeah,
got it done, and then it kind of circled back around, and then it was the two of them again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the focal point of the main actor in the movie was always sort of a weird little point of okay, so who's the main character here? Is it supposed to be the two of them, or since it's from Greg's perspective, is it supposed to be him, and then he's obviously with him? But now it's Tom. That to me is why I kind of gave it the score that I gave it, because it was just kind of jarring, but very fun to watch. The only thing is that if you watch this movie in a vacuum, it may not be as entertaining. Like without have ever seen.
Well, yeah, you might be a little cramped.
without have seen without having have seen The Room, you might still be able to enjoy it, but I don't think you're gonna have the appreciation for it.
No, like you're not gonna realize how much work they put into it unless you watch The Room, because they did a really good job.
Yes.
At a recreation storytelling.
Yes. How much work they put into The Disaster Artist to tell that story. And who knows how much of that is 100% accurate as far as like the little some little things. But like how they did like a studio recreation of the alleyway.
Why don't we just shoot in the alleyway?
Because it's a big Hollywood movie.
Okay.
Right on. So what would you give The Disaster Artist?
See, I think it's a little different for me because we like different pizza toppings. So if I'm going for like my ideal pizza as a rating system,
okay,
I'm giving it like 3.5 slices of pepperoni.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of pizza are we ordering tonight?
Taco pizza.
Fuck yeah. Taco pizza.
It's already in my cart ready to check.
Awesome, awesome. Let's go do that. Well, thank you for sitting down to talk foodies watching movies with me.
Anytime.
Yeah. Well, and we want to thank you guys
after bedtime.
Yes. I want to thank you guys for checking out this very special, different episode of part of Fool's Week of Foodies Watching Movies. Of course, you can always check out all new episodes on the Journey to Comics Network over at journeytocomics.com, where you can find most of all the shows. And you can also check us out on your social medias. There's Foodies Watching Movies. There's that kind of stuff. But there's also, we're also on your podcast services, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and that kind of stuff. You can find us there. And also check out the Patreon. Go check out patreon.com/journeytocomics. You know, give us a few bucks and you'll get some crazy, awesome new content over there. Of course, you get everything early. But then if you go to the highest tier, the $3 tier, you're getting some exclusive content coming your way. And we're in the road to the Infinity War, and going all the way up to the Avengers Infinity War. We're doing all these reviews and all this kind of stuff, and it's really cool. All the different shows pitched in, we're assigned a different show, and they're going to sit back and review them. And then we also have some new shows debuting exclusive to the Patreon. You can't get them here. They're going to be on the Patreon, and that's the only place where you're going to be able to find them. So until next time, guys, I've been Brando.
I'm Kate. My voice is like going in and out now.
Yeah. Perfect time to end it, guys. Right. Have a good one, and we'll see you later.
Bye.